Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're taking a trip to Southeast Asia.
Sounds exciting. Where are we headed?
Thailand, to be exact. We're going to unravel the tale of Kratom.
Kratom. Ah, yes. It's had quite the journey in Thailand, hasn't it?
You could say that again. From being totally illegal to now potentially a booming market.
All in just a few years. Quite the roller coaster ride.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. The reason Thailand initially banned Kratom, it all ties back to, believe it or not, opium.
Opium?
Yeah.
Really? Now that's a twist I wasn't expecting.
Right. So let's rewind the clock. How did opium lead to Kratom getting outlawed?
Okay, picture this. Early 20th century Thailand. The government's starting to impose taxes and regulations on opium.
Making it less profitable, I'd imagine.
Exactly. And guess what people turn to as a cheaper, easier alternative? Kratom.
Makes sense. It was readily available and less of a hit on the wallet.
You got it. And we know this thanks to a 2003 report from the Secretariat of the Senate.
They spilled the beans on this opium-kratom connection.
They did. And it highlights how Kratom was basically caught in this economic tug of war.
Wow. So Kratom was the unintended casualty of this whole opium crackdown.
You could say that. It all culminated in 1943 when Kratom was officially banned.
Under the Kratom Plant Act, right? Making it illegal for decades.
Yep. Branded as a dangerous substance. But that stance, well, it's been changing recently.
Big time. 2021, bam, decriminalized.
Yeah.
It's like Thailand flipped the script completely.
A total 180. And that paved the way for the 2022 Kratom Plant Act.
Which essentially set the stage for a regulated kratom market.
Precisely. And things have been moving fast ever since.
Fasten your seatbelts, folks, because we're about to dive into those regulations.
Mm.
So now you can find Kratom in all sorts of products in Thailand.
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty diverse. Food, drinks, supplements, even traditional herbal remedies.
They're embracing Kratom's versatility, it seems.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's a key part of their strategy. But here's the catch. Businesses need licenses from the Thai FDA to operate.
Ah, so it's not a free-for-all. They're keeping a tight rein on things.
For sure. It's all about control and oversight. Strict quality standards and regulations. The whole shebang.
So they're open to Kratom, but they're making sure it's done right.
Absolutely. No cutting corners. And then in September 2024, things got even more interesting.
Oh, yeah. The new guidelines for Kratom in food supplements. I was eager to hear about those.
This is where Thailand's commitment to regulation really shines. They've set a minimum mitragynine content for powdered Kratom.
Mitragynine?
It's the primary active compound in Kratom, the stuff that makes it tick.
Got it. So they're ensuring the Kratom you're getting is the real deal, no weak stuff.
Exactly. But it's not just about potency, it's about safety too. They've set daily dosage limits.
Smart move. What are you talking, like a teaspoon a day?
Well, it's a bit more specific than that. 0.2 milligrams of mitragynine for powdered Kratom and 1 milligram for water-extracted versions.
Okay, so they're serious about responsible use.
Mm.
And speaking of responsible use, there's that rule about no synthetic 7-hydroxymitragynine.
Yes. That one definitely caught my eye, too. 7-hydroxymitragynine is another compound found in Kratom, but it can be riskier.
So by banning the synthetic version, they're sticking to natural Kratom and playing it safe.
That's the idea. And let's not forget the strict manufacturing standards. All facilities have to comply with good manufacturing practices.
Oh, right. Those. So they're serious about quality control every step of the way.
From farm to finished product. But it's not just behind-the-scenes stuff. Labeling is super important, too.
Right. What are the requirements for Kratom product labels in Thailand? Anything interesting stand out?
Definitely. One thing that jumps out is the warning, no continuous use for more than 7 days in a row.
7 days. That seems pretty specific. What's the reasoning there?
That's a great question. And honestly, one that deserves further investigation. It could be based on emerging research, or maybe it's just a precautionary measure.
A reminder that we're still learning a lot about Kratom, for sure.
Ah.
Oh, before we move on, we need to talk about traditional herbal Kratom.
You're absolutely right. We can't leave that out. Thailand has a separate system for that.
So how does that work? Fill me in on the herbal route.
Well, for starters, Kratom, as a traditional herbal remedy, falls under the Thai FDA's herbal product division. And they've got their own set of guidelines. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation, you know?
Right, because their herbal preparations are often a bit more complex using different methods and ingredients.
Exactly. So the Thai FDA has to consider all those factors when assessing safety and efficacy.
Makes sense. So what are we talking about here? Different quality standards.
You bet. They've got guidelines for that. For allowable mitragynine levels, for the manufacturing processes, and of course, labeling. Always the labeling.
They've really thought of everything, haven't they? It's impressive how seriously they're taking this.
Oh, for sure. But now let's zoom out a bit. What does all this mean for Thailand, for the global kratom market?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? What's the impact of all this regulation?
Well, for starters, I think Thailand is setting themselves up as a leader in the kratom industry.
By creating this super thorough framework, they're signaling that they're ready to play ball, but responsibly.
Exactly. And they've got the perfect environment to grow high-quality kratom. Plus, now they have the regulatory system to back it up.
It's a recipe for success. I think they're eyeing the export market.
Absolutely. This could be huge for investment, research, you name it. Kratom, made in Thailand, has a nice ring to it, don't you think?
Like a mark of quality. But come on, no way it's all smooth sailing, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the roadblocks they might face?
One word. Regulations. Or rather, the lack of consistency in them globally. Some countries have outright bans, others are more relaxed. It's a mess.
Ah, so even if Thailand's got it figured out, they still have to deal with this patchwork of laws around the world.
It's a real headache. They'll need to be diplomatic, advocate for their approach, and let's not forget, cultural differences play a role too.
Right. What flies in Thailand might not elsewhere. That's a delicate dance for sure. But you know what they say? Challenges breed innovation.
Couldn't agree more. And Thailand has proven they can adapt. Think about it. They went from criminalizing kratom to embracing it.
That's pretty remarkable when you put it that way. So, bigger picture, do you think this could impact drug policy globally?
Potentially, yeah. It challenges the old way of thinking, the all-or-nothing approach.
It's like they're saying, hey, there's a middle ground. Regulate, control, don't just prohibit.
Exactly. And if Thailand can show that it works, it could encourage other countries to rethink their own policies.
It's a pretty bold statement. Now, before we get too ahead of ourselves, there's one more thing about Thailand's approach that I think our listeners will find super interesting.
Oh, I'm all ears. What is it? Well, we've talked about the quality control, the dosage limits, the labeling, but there's this one thing that just screams commitment to responsible kratom use.
Oh, come on. Don't leave me hanging. What is it?
Okay, so get this. They've implemented a mandatory registration system for kratom consumers.
Wait, hold up. You're telling me if you want to buy kratom in Thailand, you got to sign up somewhere? That's intense.
Pretty unique, right? When you buy kratom, you give them your name, age, contact info, the basics.
So the government's tracking kratom sales, seeing who's buying what and how much.
Exactly. They can monitor consumption patterns, spot any red flags. Like, imagine a sudden spike in sales in one area. That would raise eyebrows.
For sure. But I gotta ask, what about privacy? People are gonna be wary of that.
You're not wrong, but the Thai government has addressed those concerns. They've got strict data protection measures in place.
So it's not some Big Brother situation. They're not snooping on people.
Not at all. The data is purely for public health purposes. They've been transparent about that from the get-go. It's about ensuring responsible use.
Makes sense. Using data to keep things in check and protect people. Okay, so zooming out again beyond Thailand, what does this all mean for how we as a global society approach substances like kratom?
It's a great question. I think Thailand's challenging that black and white thinking we often see around these things.
Like, there's got to be another way, right? Not just ban it or let it run wild.
Right. Thailand's showing there's a middle ground. Regulate it, control it, but don't necessarily demonize it.
And if they can prove that it works, well, that could have ripple effects all over the world.
Exactly. It could influence how other countries deal with substances that have potential benefits, but also risks.
It's a new way of looking at things, for sure. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm feeling optimistic, I guess? Cautiously optimistic.
I'd say that's fair. Thailand's really leading the way here. It'll be fascinating to see how this all plays out.
Absolutely. And for everyone listening, keep learning. Keep those conversations going. The future of kratom is... well, it's kind of up in the air, isn't it?
It is, and that's what makes it so exciting. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of Thai kratom.
Until next time, folks, keep diving deep.